Kangaroos on three, 1, 2, 3.
Kangaroos!
Aloha und herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Folge von Jump, dem Kangaroos Podcast, präsentiert vom Iserlohner Kreisanzeiger. Mein Name ist immer noch Kevin Kretzler, ich bin Redakteur beim IKZ und ja, freue mich hier heute eine ganz besondere Folge moderieren zu dürfen, denn wir haben zwei Gäste, die noch nicht so lange hier spielen und auch gar nicht aus der Gegend kommen, denn wir haben hier heute Travis und Clayton zu Gast. Die beiden sprechen natürlich nur Englisch, deswegen wird auch diese Folge hier auf Englisch sein. Wer es mit dem Audio nicht so hat und ganz gerne lieber lesen möchte, dem empfehle ich einmal den YouTube-Kanal der Iserlohn Kangaroos. Da wird das Ganze wieder einmal zu sehen sein, so wie viele andere Folgen des Podcasts auch schon. Also falls ihr nicht gerne Podcasts hören möchtet, sondern eher auf der Podcast-Schiene seid und die Nasen sehen möchtet zu den Leuten, die hier sitzen, dann empfehle ich hier auf jeden Fall den YouTube-Kanal der Kangaroos und schaut da mal rein. Da gibt's auf jeden Fall dann auch Untertitel für die heutige Folge. Und damit würde ich dann jetzt auch ins Englische switchen. And I would say, welcome, Travis and Clay. Nice to have you here.
Thanks for having us. I'm excited to be part of the first English podcast and feel super honored.
Yeah, definitely. Excited to be here, you know, talk some basketball with my guy Kevin, man.
Huge compliments from the start. I like that. We have a tradition here. We start by looking into the past of the players that are here. And the first question that I have is, who was the first guy to bust your butt when you started your professional career? And what did that person do to you?
Man, that's tough.
yeah, your professional career is not that long since you come from college, right, Travis?
But I would say he didn't really like, you know what I'm saying, go crazy. But I'd say Dante, the first game here against the Sixers, like, he really, like, showed, you know what I'm saying, okay, like, all right, there's veterans at this level that, you know the game at a different speed. And he's actually from my hometown, so it was crazy to play against somebody, you know, from where I'm from. So,
but you didn't know him prior to the game?
Not really. Like, you know, coming back from home, like, sometimes, like, you play against people, but you don't really get to, like, talk to them, or, like, you don't really know, like, them for real. So I got to know him over this year, like, just through playing out here. So it's pretty cool. So, yeah.
All right.
I would say Dante. Even though he didn't give me that good, you know, it was an okay game.
It was an okay game. Clayton, what about you? Do you remember who first busted your butt?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of guys are very talented when you get over here and start playing professionally. I remember my first year in Iceland, specifically, we played a top team, and they had a guy, Jeremy Smith. He was more of a forward. But I remember specifically leaving the first quarter, we go into the huddle, and they had 32 and we had 6. And he think he had 20 points in the first quarter. So he was nothing you could do. He was very, his name's Jeremy Smith. He's playing in Austria right now, but he's a very good player.
But it sounds like he busted your team and not really you specifically.
He was doing everything. He was doing everything. So he was guarding me on defense, on offense. I tried to guard him a handful of times, and it was nothing you could do. He was having a great game, and, you know, he shut our whole team down. So took care of everybody.
Damn.
Yeah, no, he's a very good player.
Sounds like a nightmare game.
Yeah.
Or a nightmare quarter, at least.
It ended up being a nightmare game as well.
Damn.
It would, but that's how it goes sometimes.
You just said you played in Iceland before, and Travis, you were a D1 college player before you chose to come here. I would be interested to know what made you come here in the first place and play for Iserlohn. Clay, maybe you want to start.
Yeah, I mean, I spent 1 year in France and 2 years in Iceland, and kind of just made a decision with my family. My dad, he played here in Germany when I was a kid, so I have two brothers born in Germany. And, yeah, I just wanted to kind of follow in his footsteps, and he had great times over here. My uncles also played over here for a handful of years. They loved it. So, just following their footsteps and trying something different.
But you weren't born when they played here, or?
No, I was born in San Francisco. I think, you know, maybe when I was 2 years old, something like that, I came out with them to Germany
for a short period of time, I guess,
maybe a handful of years. Yeah, so back and forth from Germany during the season and back to America in the off season.
And do you remember where you stayed? What city?
Oldenburg for sure. And then there was another team he played for a stint, but it's not popping in my head right now.
And your pops played basketball as well?
Correct, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So it's in your blood.
Yeah, I mean, we got my uncles that play. I got, you know, little brother, little sister to play, cousins. The whole family has a hand in basketball or in sports, just in general.
So was that on your mind when you finished your season in Iceland? Maybe I want to go to Germany.
It's always been in my mind that I wanted to play in Germany because of my daddy. I really admire him a lot. So it's always been in my mind, and he gave me kind of a friendly nudge in the offseason, like, hey, you know, Iceland, there you played in the top league. There's not much more for you there. Like, go try to play in Germany and rise your way up there, try something new. So, you know, I wanted to follow his footsteps, and he gave me the push to go do it, and very happy so far.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Travis, what about you? What made you choose Iserlohn?
For me, it was kind of like all like a fast-paced type of process because I was still in school after my season ended when I signed, like with my agency. So I got like a couple offers while I was still in school, but I couldn't leave because I had to graduate. So I think as soon as I graduated, like probably like 2 weeks after I graduated, I got an offer from Iserlohn. That was like my first like offer where I was like, okay, I'm like able to go, and I got my passport and everything. So it was like a first offer type thing, but it was the right fit for me. So I kind of went with it from there. Yeah.
So you've been here since September?
August.
August
11th is when I got here officially. So.
And during the season, you're not really able to visit home, I guess, because there's much time off.
Yeah, not really.
So did you guys get homesick?
Well, for me, I've been, ever since I was 17, like I went to junior college before I went Division I, and I was in Texas. So I've always been away from home, even if it was in America. So I'm kind of like used to not being home, like not seeing my family for a long period of time. So it wasn't really that much of a adjustment for me. It was just more of a, okay, like something new, like, you know, leaving the country for the first time. But I don't usually get homesick anymore. I've been living on my own for a long time. So.
Okay. Yeah. But you're still in touch with your family, I guess, via Skype or whatever?
Yeah, yeah. The time difference is crazy, like talking to my family at like 2 a.m. But like, but other than that, yeah, I still talk to my family and stay in the loop. So, yeah, definitely.
How's it for you, Clay? Do you get homesick?
Yeah, I think a little bit. I think similar to Travis, it's obviously been away for a while, but you know, you miss your family, friends. I think it's very helpful that we're live now, so I can call them all the time, FaceTime, text. So it's not like I'm missing much, but you still, like, I have my sister's games. I haven't got to see her play, and just being over here, that's tough. But yeah, I think, you know, there'll be time in the summer to see everybody. I think that'll be fine as well.
Yeah. We talked about it briefly before we started recording. Since you got here in August, Clay, you came during the season.
Correct.
But how important is it for you, Travis, to have someone from America here, someone who understands the culture, who maybe experiences the same struggles, new in a foreign country? How important is it to kind of exchange ideas or experiences?
I think it's really important. It's been cool. Like, ever since Clay got here, like, we just clicked, you know, he's a cool guy. We kind of have the same interests, you know, so, like, it's just been a good, like, matchup from day one. But it's also nice to have that person. Like, you kind of, like, you know, everybody's texting in the group chat in German, and we looking at each other like, oh, well, okay, we'll figure it out later. Like, you know, so little stuff like that is just, like, cool to have somebody, like, you know, on the same page as you for the most part.
But, yeah.
Yeah, it's been great vibes ever since Clay's got here, for sure.
How do you guys spend your free time?
We'll go eat. We'll play games, hang out. Yeah. I mean, our practice schedule, you know, we lift in the morning, work out in the morning, we practice, so we like to get some rest as well. But we've done some things. We've gone to Vic, our teammates. We've been to his hometown.
Yeah, yeah.
Our roommate, you know, he took us with his girlfriend horseback riding. I've never done that before.
Okay, and, sounds wild.
Oh, it was crazy. It was crazy. There I was on, his girlfriend is on a stallion, fine, and I get on a little pony. It was the scariest thing in my life. We're just walking around. I swear we were speeding. And I look at the camera, I'm like, I can't send this to anybody. This is so embarrassing. It was so embarrassing.
I think it would be funny if, I mean, Travis, you're a tall guy, and then you start, did you start on the pony as well?
See, I didn't do it because I had prior experience. You know, it was like a one-time experience thing for him, so I let him rock out. But maybe next time I'll do it. But I've been on an actual, like, stallion before. So,
ah, okay. Yeah. So you don't have to start with a pony and walk on it. Okay. Is there something that you really miss when you think about the U.S.? That you can't really do here?
For me, I miss some of the food, some of the spots back home. And of course, like we talked about, friends, family, people that you've grown up with. But yeah, I think food, I miss a lot of the fast food back home, I would say.
Yeah, I would say the same. Like certain places that I really like to eat at, you know, that I can't hear, like probably like Chipotle. Like I haven't seen a Chipotle since I've been here. And I'm like, ah, man.
I think we have one in Berlin, if I'm not mistaken, but that's a long ride after a game.
Yeah, but like certain stuff like that, like favorite food places, and so that's about it.
Yeah. What would you two say is the difference between playing in college, playing in Europe, in Finland and Iceland, compared to playing in Iserlohn?
I think the biggest adjustment for me was like the jab step, like, type of rule when you get out here. Like, you know, you catch and, like, in America, like, you want to, like, jab and, like, before you dribble and stuff. But I got, like, I remember, like, my first home preseason game, I got, like, 5 travel calls in the game. And I'm like, oh, man. So, like, I had to get adjusted to that a little bit. But other than that, it hasn't been too different. Like, you know, just probably, like, the style of play is a little more, like, team-oriented than you see in America. Like, sometimes, like, some teams just have guys that just go one-on-one, or like 2 or 3 guys, but it's a lot of more ball movement, more team-oriented play style over here. I really like it.
Are there more set plays that get you in those one-on-one situations? Or do you just
I would say, like, you know, every play we have has like an option for you to be able to make a play if you need to, but I think like in America, you know, like, we get the rap for like, oh, dude's just gonna come down, do like 3 moves and shoot, like, you know, stuff like that. So
okay. So how's playing in Finland and Iceland compared to Germany?
France and Iceland.
France, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I would say Iceland was a little more Americanized, their style of play. I would say it was kind of like a healthy middle between the both. So it was a little faster, quicker actions. I would say a big difference for me is there's a lot of good bigs in our league. So every other game we'll probably play an American big that's really good, or we'll play our bigs are very talented. So I think that would be the difference that I've noticed.
How would you say, did you benefit so far from playing in Europe for a couple of years and, you know, for a couple of months? Be it on the court or off the court?
I would say, like I said earlier, I'll piggyback off that, like the play style, like, you know, being more like ball movement, faster pace, like, you know, moving without the ball a little bit, like just learning how to, you know, really have that connection with your teammates to play off the ball and, like, you know, make certain plays within the offense, you know, not going off script all the time.
Yeah.
That was something that really helped me with my game, especially over this year.
Yeah, for me, I'll go more off the court. I think it's just an amazing to experience different cultures and like even something as little as like a kebab. I never had a kebab until I went to Iceland and blew my mind. It was crazy. I was like, oh my gosh. So I'm like, I'll look for a kebab spot back home. But yeah, different cultures and different ways that people interact in different countries, I think, has been super cool and eye-opening and something that not a lot of people back home get to experience. Even, like, we're living here, but, like, people don't even get to visit a European country. So, I mean, it's a story that, you know, I'll be able to tell my kids. And, oh, yeah, I live in Germany, I live in Iceland, I live in France, did that. So I think it's been a wonderful experience, like, super helpful.
Is that something that you want to take advantage of more often as your career progresses, see more of the world?
That's not on the forefront of my mind. I really love basketball. I love playing. I love competing. And I think that's more where I lean, like try to be more competitive, try to get in better leagues, and I would lean more towards that than visiting. But I think it's a super amazing side benefit, like with this, you know, chosen occupation.
Yeah. What did you say, Travis?
I would kind of go in the same direction as that, but more so it's just like, you know, like you said, I love the game. So it's like wherever I get the opportunity to play and it's like, okay, I like this fit for me, then I'm going to go with it, you know, just because, you know, I'm doing what I love to do. So no matter where I'm at,
yeah,
like, I'll be good.
For those who actually watch the game, Clay, you have a knack for grabbing offensive rebounds, even though you're mostly the smallest guy on the court.
Sometimes, yeah.
It feels like you get a lot during the game. I checked the statistics. I think it's one per game. It feels like five,
yeah,
at least. What makes you so successful in that aspect of the game?
Yeah, I think I spent a lot of time growing up rebounding for my dad, my brother, my sister. So we always, every day, go work out, shoot together, sister, brother, dad. So I think that many reps of just seeing the ball come off the rim, you kind of, my dad would, if he was not in a great mood, sometimes get mad at you if you like the ball bounce. So you have to get used to like just grabbing the ball, grab the ball, grab the ball. And I think also the competitive nature, I really want to win. I'm all about winning. So just trying to find ways to make plays and do something and not just be out there.
Okay. Travis, you on the other end, you're freakishly athletic. And at the beginning of the season, you had two straight 30-point games where you, during the first one, you attacked the basket relentlessly and scored at will. And in that other game, your jumper was just on automatic. And I would like to know, how do you keep a balance between attacking the rim and relying on your jump shot when both of those are reliable options and you can actually blow by everybody whenever you want?
Yeah, I think for me, it's trying to keep the game a little more simple. Like you said, it's easy to fall in love with the jumper, especially like when you shoot it at a pretty efficient clip. But just understanding that in most matchups, I had the quickness and the athleticism to actually get to the basket. I think it's a better option for me to keep it balanced because the more attempts I get at the basket, you know, the more I feel good about my shot, and then my shot will come easier that way. So I think keeping the balance is good to, you know, like keep yourself in a good groove in the game and not kind of like ice yourself out like, oh, I missed like three jumps in a row. Let me get to the basket. Let me get my feel back. And, you know,
some players who are so physically gifted as you are kind of fall into a trap and forget to develop other parts of their games and say, I can go to the basket whenever I want to. I don't need a jump shot. What made you not fall for that trap and actually work on your game?
Well, ever since I was young, like my dad always made sure I was a balanced basketball player. Like when I was probably like 6 years old, I might have been like one of the tallest kids on my team, but I was the only kid that could dribble. So I had to play point guard, or I would have to play big when I got a little older because I'm the tallest guy on it. So I've always been in every aspect of the game that I could be in to, you know, make my game be as balanced as possible.
So I guess that makes you a little bit comfortable when Tony tries to put you on the five.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. Clay, you also get a ton of steals out there. I think it's almost three per game, which is absolutely nuts. Mm-hmm. And when Joe said on the couch, he said that you gamble a lot and that he would never do that because it's way too risky. Yeah. But you are pretty efficient at it, I think. And he actually admired how often your plan works.
Yeah.
What do you see out there? What makes you so gifted?
Yeah, I wouldn't say gifted. I would just say similar to the rebounds. I just want to, you know, when I'm on the court, I really want to make a play. Like I don't want to just be out there running back and forth. Like I want to make a play to help us win. So sometimes that it's taking a gamble, and you know, the beautiful thing about basketball is when you try to make a play and it works, everybody loves you. And then when it doesn't work, you're going to be sitting on the bench. And that's just how it goes. So I think, just competing and trying to make a play and trying to do something. And I think it's also very helpful. You know, Coach Tony does a great job with our scouting and preparing to play. So we a lot of times know what the other team is doing before they even know what they're doing. So I think that that helps a lot as well.
Yeah. Watching you guys play, I would say that you both couldn't be more different when it comes to your demeanor. Mm-hmm. Travis, you seem like a very quiet guy. You don't really talk much on the court, off the court. Is that just the thing that happens to your basketball, that you're a quiet guy, or is that just how you would describe yourself?
I mean, that's just how I am. Like, just, you know, chill, easygoing. I don't really say too much, man. I mean, when it comes to basketball, like, I'm from a place where people are really, like, get in your face and, like, talk to you the whole time. But I've always just let my game do the talking for myself. Like, I don't really say too much. I just stay locked in on what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But no lack of energy, though. Like, I just show it in a different way, you know. So mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't seem to be possessions off.
Yeah. No.
Not at all.
Like Clay said, I'm trying to win, man, at any means necessary. So
yeah. Clay, you're totally different. I think you're talking the entire time, whether it be to the refs, the fans, or mm-hmm. your opponent.
Yeah.
Are you a big trash talker? Because you're always so quiet, I can't really tell what you're talking about. It seems like you're in the face of everybody.
Yeah, I think that's true. I like to talk. I think it's a lot of fun. And I think sometimes you could tell when you play somebody and you're talking to them, if it's affecting them or not. And I don't shy away from talking, for sure. I think, similar to Travis, I grew up in a, you know, big city, and when you play, people talk. And unlike Travis, I had to talk back. I didn't have the game to just let it show. So I had to say something back. But I remember, like, with my brothers, we go play pickup and you're talking, and then you're on the drive home, like, yeah, wasn't that so funny what I said to him? And I was calling so trash. Like, wasn't that? I got him good on that one, didn't I? And so that's just part of how I played growing up, was like that.
Is there a back and forth during the game? Because it seems like you're the only one who's talking, but there's no feedback.
Yeah, sometimes there's a back and forth and sometimes not, but that's just how I'm wired when I'm in there, is I'm going to talk and I know they're listening. So that's how it goes. But, you know, it's not always negative. So a lot of times it's my teammates making amazing plays and I'm hyping them up, or I'm letting them know, like, hey, you're doing a great job. Keep this going. Keep working. And it's just part of who I am.
Yeah. Speaking of which, what gets you guys hyped up during the game? Let's start with Travis.
I would say, like, just big plays on my team, man. Either it's me or my teammates just playing well. Like, it just gets me going. And the crowd, too. Like, the energy from the crowd is always just, like, a valve for me. Like, just gets me in that mood.
Yeah. Clay, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for instance, last game, like the alley-oop, or like when somebody makes a highlight play, obviously that's so exciting. It's such a morale booster. But I think also, like, when we work on something for a long time and you see it work so smoothly in the game, like a play or like something coach has been talking about, and somebody does it because, like, perfectly, it's super, super exciting. It gets me going. So I love that as well.
Yeah. You mentioned your trash talking and talking to your brothers during the trip home, but I think your sister, who's balling out for the Washington Huskies right now,
correct.
I think, she's talking a lot too. Yeah. I saw a couple of YouTube clips where she was mic'd up and she talked a lot of trash as well. So that seems really to be something that runs in the family.
Yeah, I mean, she's a dog. So she, you know, she grew up, she was the youngest sister, three older brothers, and she's always playing with us. And so, you know, I think it rubbed off on her. But yeah, she's a dog. And similar, she doesn't back down from anybody, and she's hooping. You're going to hear about it, even us. Like, or if I go play with her back home, if she's playing well, I won't hear the end of it. So I think that's, you know, runs throughout the whole family pretty much.
Yeah. Are you some kind of mentor to her? Do you talk about the game?
Yeah, I wouldn't go as far as to say mentor. She's very talented in her own right, and I think we talk a lot both ways, and she gives me a lot of feedback for my games, and I give her some feedback, and we try to grow together. But she's very, very talented. She's got a bright future ahead of her. She's a dog.
Does he talk to you about playing overseas? Because I guess that's something, if you don't play in the WNBA in America, you don't have many options. You have to go overseas, maybe Turkey or something to get the big bucks.
I think her goal is, she's very high goal. She wants to make WNBA. She wants to play in WNBA. WNBA, I think the time that she graduates is making a team in San Francisco, her hometown. So that's her dream goal, to get there. But I think she would have no problem. I think her game is would be very good overseas, and similar to me, she has the French passport, so I think she also wants to try to play for the French national team. And so I think if she does decide to come play overseas, you know, she has my dad, she has me, her uncles that have a lot of knowledge in that area to maneuver that as well.
Yeah. Travis, who do you talk to when it comes to the game? Do you have someone in your family where you kind of go back and forth?
Just my dad, mostly. He coached me like when I was a kid, so, you know, he's always been giving me feedback my whole life. You know, if I play bad, if I play good, what I should have done better here, or, you know, just use my talent in certain ways. You know, it just gives me a lot of advice on a daily basis every time he calls me. So I would say my dad is the person I talk to basketball most. Or also my old teammates, too, that I always keep up with everybody I play with in college. So those are most of the people I talk basketball with.
So do they watch the games now that you are too?
My teammates will hit me up and be like, yeah, I watched the game. Or, you know, it's tough with the time difference for some of them because they live in different states. But, yeah, they always hit me up if they watch the game and tell me if I did good or bad. So
that's really cool. we have two questions from our former guests, Julius and David.
Okay.
And we will start with the question that David had, because that's specifically...
I just want to say I'm really scared of Julius's question. Whatever that is, I'm worried about it.
You don't have to be scary. Okay. I can put a spoiler alert on that thing, but David's could be a little bit of a challenge.
Well, so you should be scared.
Hey, Clay, I hope you're not traumatized anymore from our last Mühle match. And I would like to know how you're preparing for our next or upcoming match.
Yeah, well, David, that was what a low blow that was. First off. And I just want to say, he's had years to play Mueller, and I've only had a handful of months. So my strategy isn't like fully developed yet, but he's a smart guy. He's crazy smart. I would just take it back to our chess match and where it was an even playing field chess. I think he still beat me in chess though. So,
so I don't know.
He's smart. He's a smart guy. I'll give it to him on that, but I guarantee the next Mueller match, I will win for sure.
Okay, you heard it here first.
Yeah. First, exclusive.
Yeah, exclusive.
Okay, now let's listen to Julius.
I want to know from both of you guys what you think the biggest differences are between life in the States and life here in Germany.
We touched a little bit on that when it comes to food, but maybe there are some other aspects for you.
Man, all your grocery stores close pretty early.
Yeah.
Sunday, everything closed on Sunday,
everything
too.
Everything closed on Sunday, too, but... I think that's like the biggest thing. Like, you know, you might want to go to the gas station at like 1 a.m. and be like, oh, wait, nah, I can't. It's closed, you know, stuff like that. But I think here in Germany, there's not really too many differences, like I would say, but that's like a huge.
Yeah, I think it's more just like little things you'll notice like from day to day. I know one for sure. There, it's like I'll walk down the street and somebody's just staring at me. Like I'm walking by and they're just staring. And like I walk by the next person and they're staring at me. I'm like, that's not like, I'm like, why aren't you looking at the ground? That's like, just walk by.
Maybe it's the trash stash. I don't
know.
Yeah,
it's gotta be. That's what I was telling. I'm like telling Trev, I'm like, they gotta know I'm American, or they like either really like the way I look or really don't like the way I look or something. But it's just little things. But yeah, I wouldn't say there's a huge, huge difference.
Okay, sounds good. Now we can come to the fan mail that we got. There is a question for you, Clay. Clay, you flirted with triple-doubles early in the season, and you also dished out a ton of assists. I think your second game you had 14 assists, if I remember correctly. How were you able to do that when you barely knew your teammates? You barely, that's a tiebreaker, barely knew the sets that you were playing.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's on me, you know, when you make an assist, is these guys are the ones making the shots. So I just give them the ball. We have very talented scorers, Travis, Sam, Victor, Joe. I mean, our whole team could score. Johnny, Ben, Ruben, Elias, Matza. So I think just give them the ball and they do the rest. I think that would be really what happens.
Yeah. Okay. That's very diplomatic.
Thank you.
What do you two like most about basketball? Maybe you want to start, Travis.
What I like most about basketball? I would say that's tough. Like just the feeling you get when you out there playing. Like it's just, it's never a difference between when you were a little kid on the park, like, you know, with your friends, or now, like just playing professionally. It's always that feeling you get when, you know, you're just playing the sport that you love, basically, I would say. It's probably the thing that I love about basketball.
Yeah. Clayton, what about you?
I mean, there's a lot of things I love about basketball, the competition, the community. I think some of the best things about basketball and sports in general is how it brings people together. And, you know, you could go anywhere across the world and you find a gym. It's a common language. If there's a basketball gym, basketball court, you don't need to talk to you. Like, you could understand each other on that level. So I think that's super awesome that, you know, I would probably say 75%, 80% of my friends are through basketball. You know, I spend a lot of my time with my family playing basketball, watching basketball. So I think it just, for me, it brings me closer with the people I know.
All right. We got this question a lot. I know you probably won't answer the way that everybody wants to hear, because there are a lot of factors in it. But can you imagine staying in Germany or at least in Europe?
I could definitely imagine staying in Germany. I've liked it here since I've been here. You know, I like the culture. I like the food, man. Food is great.
No Chipotle, but otherwise.
But no, it's been a great experience. I definitely wouldn't mind staying in Germany.
Even staying in Iserlohn?
Hey, man, never know.
What about you, Clayton?
Yeah, I've loved my experience here since I've gone here. So I think I would have no problem staying in Germany or obviously in Europe. But yeah, it's been a wonderful experience. Great people. Like, I love all my teammates are so interesting, funny, like great to be around.
Great guys.
Community is nice. Every time we go to school, or I see a little kid around the community and they come up, it's super awesome. So I think I've had a great experience like here. It's nothing here that made me go like, oh, I got to go back to America. I'm never coming to Europe again. It's been great. So it's been super fun.
Yeah. We already touched on that a little bit, that there are not really many differences between life in America, life in Germany. But was there some kind of culture shock when you first got here?
I think for me, when I first came to Germany and I didn't have a team and I was in Frankfurt, I had a little bit of culture shock because it was I was in Iceland the last 2 years. It was pretty comfortable there. And so I didn't have a team, was in Frankfurt, just in an Airbnb, and knew nobody there. So I was definitely, you know, it's different when you have a team and you're coming into, you know, pretty much a set family of a team. But I felt like I had nobody. So it was, I would say I had some culture shock at first because didn't know the language, didn't know location, that kind of stuff. But once I got to the team, everything fell into place.
I think it's a little bit different here because you have to live with somebody or one of your teammates, and that makes you spend a little bit time more each other during, after practice, before practice. That probably helps, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, my first tryout, the day I tried out the first day, I go back to the apartment I'm in now with Elias, and this is the first day I'm not even on a team, just tryout, and I come back to the apartment. Elias's girlfriend made dinner. We had dinner together. They made dinner, let me eat their dinner with them. Just met me a couple hours ago. Got to know, and it's just stuff like that where it's like being on a team is so important to help integrate someone into the community.
Yeah. What would you say, Travis?
I would probably say just probably my first couple of days, like not really knowing anybody, like he said, and just walking around, like walking the town and just seeing, like, you know, all the different like stuff, like food places or like just people interacting, or like the language barrier for a few days, like just seeing, all right, who can I like talk to, like understand and stuff like that. So I would probably say just my first couple of days filling the town or out and like, you know, just getting to know the area.
Yeah.
Was a big culture shock for me.
Have your teammates taught you some German words?
A little bit. I mean, you know, Joe and Victor were kind of like my German tutors for like my first month, man. So I've learned a little bit, but not nothing too crazy.
Okay. Yeah.
He's good. He's good with the numbers.
German accountant would be like my backup job. I'm stuck out here for sure. I know my numbers.
You never know. Maybe that's life after basketball.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. I got some.
Next question. Did you ever get gifts from fans? And if so, what is your favorite one?
Yeah, I got a bracelet. I have it hanging in my wall in my apartment. It's like I don't know what it's called, but they're just like beads, but it's like super intricate and it says Ladine on it, like my last name.
Team colors too.
Team colors, like it's super awesome. It was crazy. And I think that was super fun. When I got it, I was very excited. I sent a picture to my family. I was like, look at this, like this young girl, she made it for me, like super awesome. It was, for me, that was super cool.
Where did you get it? Here?
Yeah, I got it after a game. A fan, she came up to me and gave it to me.
Very cute.
Yeah, it was so super awesome. It was super cool.
Travis?
I would say I didn't really get too many gifts from the fans this year till the last game, though. A little kid came up to me and gave me an option of Tic Tacs or Mentos gum. I took Mentos gum.
That's a good choice.
Yeah. That was my first gift.
The next question for Clay is a little bit mean. When will you start hitting your threes again? You were in a little slump.
Yeah, it's a good question, man. It's been tough. It doesn't seem like I can throw a ball in the ocean. But that's part of the process, and it's part of the game, kind of what we talked about earlier, where it's just you gotta make plays. So the beautiful thing about basketball is if you make it, you're gonna stay on the court and you're gonna go for the next one. And if you miss a couple, that's, you know, you gotta try again. And that's one thing I won't do is stop shooting, is because, like we talked about, the competitive nature, and I want to be out there making plays. So I'm gonna, you know, to a certain extent, keep trying to make plays and make shots and shoot. And that's all you could do is just get the next one up and hopefully it falls.
Yeah. Travis, where did that bounce come from?
I couldn't tell you, honestly. I mean, I was a dual sport athlete growing up, so I played football and basketball. So did a lot of early age weightlifting. So maybe that helped a little bit, but most of it's just, you know, out of thin air, man. It's just natural.
Clay, who's your favorite NBA player?
My favorite NBA player is Steve Nash, all time. So he's a little, he was really hitting his stride when I was growing up, and I thought he was awesome.
I think there are some similarities.
Yeah, well, I mean, Steve Nash was a, you know, two-time MVP,
you're still young.
Yeah, very true, very true. But I really love the way he plays, super fast, great shooter, found people when they're open. So I think I really love the way he plays.
Yeah, I think you do that too. You like the fast pace.
I do like the fast pace. I do like the pass. So I think there's definitely some similarities for sure.
Yeah. Travis, last question. What is your vertical?
The last time I was officially measured for my vertical was in college, so 38. Yeah.
Damn.
Must be nice.
Yeah. We don't know what that feels like.
No, never been that high up.
But you can dunk it, right, Clay?
Yeah. He's gotten some dunks, man. He don't want to show it in the game, but if we in warm-ups, he'd get a couple up there.
Yeah.
It's kind of embarrassing because we're in warm-ups, you got Travis doing 360s, you got Malik doing a windmill, you got these other guys dunking, and I'll just like barely put the ball in the basket and everybody's going, oh my god, no way. Like, bro, come on, bro.
It's a world wonder.
Yeah, it's a little bit embarrassing, but yeah, I'll get a couple dunks in the warm-ups maybe.
Would you try it in a game?
I think Not, no.
Come on, man. We have 20 fast break by yourself.
Yeah, come on.
I would shoot the three.
One on zero, shoot the three, obviously.
That's the only logical choice.
Next up, bench warmer.
There you go.
Okay. That was the last question. So thank you very much, you two, for taking the time.
Thanks for having
us. Here, answering the questions. It was very, very nice. And yeah, see you soon on the court.
Yes, sir.
And yeah.
Thank you, Tschüssi.
Ja, vielen lieben Dank, dass ihr wieder zugehört habt und auch reingeschaut habt, gegebenenfalls, weil ihr bei YouTube unterwegs seid. Vergesst nicht, den Podcast zu folgen, überall da, wo ihr eure Podcasts hört, auf Apple Podcasts, Spotify oder wo auch immer. Folgt auch dem IKZ auf Instagram und auf Facebook, um da nicht die News zu verpassen. Folgt natürlich auch den Kangaroos auf Instagram und Facebook, denn da gibt's natürlich auch basketballspezifischen Stuff. Und ikz-online.de/lokalsport ist natürlich auch weiterhin eure Adresse für exklusive Inhalte rund um die Kangaroos. Wir hören uns hier wieder jeden Donnerstag vor den Heimspielen und ich würde sagen, bis zum nächsten Mal. Ciao.